You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And to London we go. Good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning, Bongani.
Now, you want to talk about a unique terrorist prosecution. What's that all about?
Yeah, I wonder if this could catch on. Okay, what we have is the first man that we believe in the West, certainly, but the first British man to be charged with terror offences for fighting against Islamic State. A guy called James Matthews. He'll appear in court next week. But the formal charges have already been made of, quote, attending a place used for terrorist training. Now, this is a guy who essentially joined the Kurdish YPG, as quite a lot of people have. I say quite a lot of people, I mean it's dozens, isn't it, who have. And we know that, for instance, seven British men were killed in action doing that. We know that other nationalities have been involved in the fight with the Kurdish YPG, Americans, Australians, and I believe some French as well. But the point is that the law for one has to apply to the other. And so, technically speaking, he signed up with an organization that is not recognized, that is by the British government, that is not on side with the British government's views, even whilst fighting an enemy of the British government. So he will appear in court next week. The question is, though, will James Matthews therefore get the same punishment as if he had fought with Islamic State?
That's a very, very interesting one.
Slightly differently, ultimately, I wonder.
Now, Donald Trump told the Democrats that they were treasonous for not clapping for him. Now he's getting a parade.
That's his plan. And indeed, it is thought, you know, there's a lot of posturing going on, or as some might call it sometimes, if we'll forgive the expression, willy-waving. And lo and behold, North Korea today has staged a big military parade in Pyongyang, and it is thought that Donald Trump therefore once again, well, look what we've got. But in fact, he's also been inspired by the French Bastille Day celebrations. Now, the French are slightly different. Unlike, say, Pyongyang, or indeed Moscow or Beijing, which are the other two that sort of slip into the mind about places they hold big military parades. But there again, the one in Paris, although not run by a dictator these days, was started by Napoleon Bonaparte. So you get the idea that Donald Trump is kind of aligning himself with a weird bunch of despots in some ways, but he says it's a chance for Americans to honor the military and to say thank you and show their appreciation. And he wants to see an enormous cavalcade probably running through the middle of Washington, past the White House, past the Trump Hotel, by the way, and also past the Capitol building. And America hasn't done this since, or not in that way anyway, since the end of the Gulf War in 1991. Is this a good thing? Is this just about my buttons bigger than yours, though?
My buttons bigger than yours, willy waving. He'd have something to say about that. Now, a Christmas crime, a selfless act of charity, but ends up in a brush with the law.
I know it's the wrong time of year. It's not, technically speaking, the festive season, is it? But yes, if you're sitting comfortably, I'll tell you the charming Christmas tale of Lee Williamson, a former soldier. He was driving to work one day on Christmas Day in the fair city of Leicester. Lo, through the frosty early morning air, he saw a homeless man near a bus stop, and he pulled his car over to offer a helping hand, and Lee gave forth a blanket, hat, gloves, and some food. In return for his Christmas generosity, he got a £70 fine from the city council for parking at a bus stop, on a day, by the way, when there are no buses running. Much media attention later, Lee, who has not been living happily ever since Christmas Day and has really been irking him ever since he received the fine, says if the Grinches at the council want the money, they'll have to take him to court. It looks like the Grinches are backtracking, and the mayor has intervened and said we can't possibly fine a man for some Christmas charity. But, Merry Christmas, Leicester style. It doesn't sound like quite the right thing, does it?
What do they say, Adam? Common sense is the rarest thing. That's, of course, Adam coming to you on the line there from London. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. Today's question comes from Tsepiso Njiva, who tweeted, why is it important for countries to have embassies all over the world? Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get the answer, we spoke to John Stremlau, the visiting professor of international relations at Wits University.
It's an excellent question, and it's a little complicated because historically embassies played different roles than they should, in my view, play today. They are no longer the conveyors of a of handwritten notes between states, but what they can do is provide a window onto the complex internal politics of each state and advise the Home Office how best to relate to the internal dynamics of that state and its potential to be a partner for the home state concerned. So that's why they're really still very important.
So congratulations to Tsepiso Njiva for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Pardon me, have I gone over my time?
No, ma'am, but we can hear you from the cockpit.
Experience a shower spa so refreshing, you'll think you're at home. Only on the Emirates A380 First Class. To book or find out more, visit emirates.com/ZA. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.